good singing. That's good. That's good. I'm glad I stand on what don't change. Stand with the Lord. Stand on the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Stand on this book. This Bible is the Word of God. It don't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And I'm glad. That's good. Caleb, you done well this morning. I appreciate it. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. A few thoughts this morning. Nothing new. We don't preach nothing new. And nothing new to preach. We want to give you some thoughts this morning. I am full aware that I cannot change you. I'm full aware that I can't save you. I can't make you clean up your life. I can't make you walk closer. I can't make you praise the Lord. I can't make you do anything. But I can encourage you along. And I want you to know this morning I'm on your side. I hope you understand that. I'm on your side this morning. And I'm rooting for you. I'm wanting you, if you're saved this morning, I'm wanting you to have a better judgment seat. That when you stand before the Lord as a Christian, that there's more rewards for you. That's what I'm interested in. I'm wanting you to do better every day. And if you're not saved, then my desire for you is that you be saved before you leave here today. That you have eternal life before you leave here today. I just want you to know I'm on your side. I'm not against you. I want you to know that. Now, I'll tell you what I am against. I'm against sin. I'm not against sinners. I'm against sin. I'm against evil. And there's not no backup. We're not going to back up on nothing. But we just want you to know that this thing is serious. The older that I get, not just in age, but in the ministry, talk with preachers and other workers in other churches, other states. I find that there's a lot of things that don't change, that we're the same all over. We're the same kind of people all over the world. But what I'm seeing is maybe a haphazard way of living. We live fast and priorities are messed up. Thinking that we're invincible. Thinking that things are only going to happen to others. It's not going to happen to us. Others have hard times. Others get slapped in the face. Others have the tragedies. But, well, not me. Everything's going good. I want you to understand that anything and everything can happen to anybody at any time. We got to have the Lord. I don't just need the Lord when bad time comes. I need the Lord before bad time comes. And then when bad time comes, then it's easier to get through it. But I'm not immune. I just hope we see some things this morning. We're going to try to encourage you to walk with the Lord if you're saved. And then we're going to try to get you saved this morning if you're not saved. So let's think about that. Everybody all right?
Yes.
Appreciate the song. Appreciate the testimonies. Now you're free this morning just like always. So let's see what God has to say. All right, let's pray together. Father, we come. Lord, you are most wonderful. The blessing that you give us is more than we can count. Just this morning is more than we can count, just the goodness of God. And not only do you give them to us, you chase us down to give it to us. And Lord, I appreciate this all you do for us. Now, Lord, I'm weak, unworthy. Lord, I fail. Lord, just like everybody else, Lord, I'm far from perfect. I'm far from being what I ought to be. Ask you to help me this morning. Cleanse me from my wrongs, my sins, the things that displeases you. Give me power. Touch me fresh that I might be able to preach as you see fit. And may every mind be attentive this morning. Every heart be receptive. And may we go from this place being obedient unto you. We're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Ephesians chapter 5 is what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to deal with one little thought there in just a moment when we get to it. Let's start at verse 1, and I normally don't read a lot of scripture, but I'm going to read down through verse 21 this morning, and I want us to go carefully, and we'll go back and read some of it again, but I want you to go with me now carefully. Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, and now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now that's a lot in there. We'll go back and look at some of these things. But I want to go back and take a text if we can just for a moment in verse 16. But it talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I believe we can all understand that. For some reason, I've been bothered for a while about time. I'm finding that I ain't got enough. I'm finding that time is passing so fast that I know that there's 24 hours in a day. I know that's not changed. I know that there's still 7 days in a week. I know that there's still 12 months in a year. I know that. But for some reason, we ain't got enough time. And I think maybe it's because of the time that we waste, maybe. Might be the problem. We're already, it seems like, we're already here in at the end of the year. We're coming up. This is the last quarter of the year. You understand that? We're in October. Our theme this year was coming fully alive in 2025. You realize that 9 months is gone? Ain't that right? Is it 9 months? Ain't we in the 10th month? October, November, December. That's right, ain't it? All right, we're already 9 months gone, and we have failed to come fully alive. We have failed to come fully alive in 2025. Now, in some ways, we might be doing better, but in some ways, we ain't. In some ways, we've got our priorities mixed up, and now we're out of time. We're almost out of time. We ain't gonna get it done now. Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but I just see that things is just changing so quick, and I'm out of time. I'm looking at people that's out of time. I'm still rejoicing over the news about the man and woman that was saved Friday. Brother Rick and Roger went and visited. Do you realize that had they not went and visited Friday, at 84 years old and her 80s as well, that the chances of them getting saved was probably no more time left. You think about that. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you get in your 80s, everybody's on borrowed time. Everybody's just a step. The Bible teaches that we're but a step between us and death. But when you get that old, I wonder how many more opportunities they would have had not Roger and Rick took time to go make a visit and to show them the gospel, show them their lost condition, and them trust the Lord. I'm rejoicing in that fact that they got saved, but look at the time that's been wasted. 80 years of wasted time. Man, time flies. I run across a poem. I was looking up some things. I run across this poem, and boy, this is so true. Once you listen to the name of the poem, it's time. It says, when I was a babe and wept and slept, time crept. When I was a boy and laughed and talked, time walked. When the years saw me a man, time ran. But as I older grew, time flew. Soon as I journey on, I will find time gone. Boy, ain't that true? Ain't that true? When I was a baby, babies don't think nothing of time. You know, they have no thought of time. And then, as a kid, somebody told me this the other day, might have been up at Lindsay's and she was talking. But, some of y'all probably, we've all thought this same thing. Remember when we was in teenager and somebody was 50, 60, how ancient we thought they were? You remember we thought, man, we'll never see that. Man, them people are old. Huh? But then when you get 60, you don't think of that. When you get past 60, you don't think of that. Do you? Now it ain't old at all. No. And now it's nothing. It's nothing. But that's how we look at things. And now time has flew by. We was talking back here a while ago. Frank and Brenda's trying to figure out how many 100 years they've been married. Between them and John, they figured they've been married. Together, they've been married over 100 years. Frank and Brenda and Judy and John's 104 years they've been married together. But time flies. Me and Cheryl just celebrated 44 years. Of being married. That don't even seem right. That don't seem right. Then some are just starting. Some are just a day in this thing. It just don't seem right. We got some here this morning that's in their 80s. You're young 80. You don't act like you're 80. You don't conduct yourself like you are, but you're done past 80. And it don't seem like it. I'm looking around what, 87 or so might be the oldest here this morning. We got several, 82, 81, 82, 84, 87. But you wouldn't think that, but looking at our congregation, how fast time flies. Downstairs, we got all the criminals in the nursery and all the little ones back there. You know, they're whining and crying we're going to turn around and we'll be gone. If the Lord tarries, we'll turn around but where does time go? Where does time go? But I'm afraid we're wasting time. People's waiting too long to serve the Lord. They're thinking that they got plenty of time to get right. They're thinking, several years ago, I sat in here in a sanctuary with a man who was going to start church, but he never made it. In just a month, he was gone out into eternity. We think we got plenty of time. I've talked with young people. Young people think they're invincible. But I buried teenagers. I buried young adults. I've buried young married couples. I've buried them of all ages. I've helped carry the casket of babies. I've carried the casket of babies. Death comes at all ages, but yet we think we got plenty of time. We don't have plenty of time. The slowest, if we make it to 70, that's nothing compared to eternity. You know that? 70 ain't old. There's many here this morning, 70. But I just want you to think about time. We're going to preach to you just for a moment about time. It says time is if you look up the definition, and I thought it odd the way you had to word it, because it's hard to define time without using the word time. I figured now if I look this up, it's going to have say something about time, but it don't. It just says it's a particular portion. Time is a particular portion or part of duration. I thought that was worded kind of funny. Time, a particular portion or part of duration of the past or present or future. It went on to say then that time was, time is, and time will be to an extent. You know? Then it said in the definition that lost time can never be found again. What it says right in there, lost time can never be found again. So time is precious. So I believe that's why the scripture says then, there in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I wonder what time would cost. If we was going to buy time, we wouldn't have enough money to buy it, would we? What is it? Gold I forgot how many $1,000 an ounce. You know, man got a pound of gold. He's a wealthy man. You know, wealthy man. But you know, that's achievable. I know some probably has got a pound of gold or so stashed away. You know, people started investing in gold and that's well. But I wonder what it would cost though for time. What would 1 minute of time cost? What would we have to pay? See, you can't buy it. It's so high priced, you can't buy a minute. You can't buy a second. It would cost so much that you can't buy. So how are you redeeming the time? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your time? I think about church. I think about our Christian life. And I think about just time, redeeming the time, making full use of our time. And we'll get to the message here in just a moment. I want you to think about 2025, that's the year. 365 days. No, this is things we know. All right. We got 365 days this year. That's 8,760 hours. That's 525,600 minutes. Huh? That's 31,536 seconds. Huh? But the year's done gone. 9 months is done gone. What'd you do with it? What have you done with these last 9 months? May I ask you, believer, may I ask you, Christians, what have you done for the Lord these past 9 months? How many people have you brought to Christ these past 9 months? Had 9 months to come fully alive. What have you done with the Lord and for the Lord in these past 9 months? What are you going to do when the last day of this year is done? What are you going to say you've done with them 8,760 hours? Let me tell you what we do with some of our time. You know, we're so religious. We're so spiritual. I mean, we are. I mean, we got it nailed down. We got 365 days a year. And we have the opportunity of 156 of them in church. 156 times we can come to church. You know? Now, if we don't come on Wednesday, because a lot of people don't come to church through the week, but if we don't come on Wednesday, that's 104 days. 104 times we have the opportunity to come to church. That don't seem like much out of 365, does it? just 104. But you know, if you only come on Sunday morning, and some of you only come on Sunday morning, do you know that's only 52 days? Did you realize that out of the 8,760 hours, if you only come on Sunday morning for preaching service, you only come a little over 50 hours a year out of 8,000 hours? That's time. What are we doing with all that other time? I wonder who we're walking with all that other time. I wonder who all we're living for all those other hours. You know, I'm not judging. I'm just asking questions. I'm talking about redeeming the time. Time is so important. I've been beside people in a deathbed, and they've been very conscious, and they... some were anxious to go, crossed. Some were doing everything they could to stay if they could just have one more day, one more hour of time. I mean, that's how precious it is. What have you done with your time already? Let's say you are 80 years old. What have you done with your 80 years? What have you done for the Lord these 80 years? If you're 50 years old, there's some of us here this morning who've been a Christian for 50 years. I've been a Christian over 50 years. What have I done for the Lord all these 50 years that I've professed to know Christ? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm wanting you to think about the importance of time. The importance of time. Many, many of us, if not all of us, wish we had more time. Have you ever finished the day out and say, man, I wish I'd had time to done this? I wish I had had time to get that done? Have we not all said that at one time or another? You know, anytime I'm with the boys, Marcus and Philip, I go back and say, man, if I could go back in time. If I could go back in time. Man, I wonder how many things would you change in your life if you could go back in time? If you could go back, I wonder how many mistakes that you've made would you go back and say, I ain't doing that again. There ain't no way. Huh? We would change some things, but we can't go back in time. Time is so precious, but once it's gone, you can't go back. And even just a split second. Hunting season, you know, I love hunting season. I love to hunt. I enjoy hunting. And I always think of this every year. I go out in the woods if I can, if I'm able to, get out in the woods and hunt a little bit. But I don't think maybe about all the things that I've killed. I think about the times that I missed. Any of you guys ever think of that? Of the time that you missed one? I always think, now, you wouldn't think this of me, but I've hunted ever since I was tiny. I'll never forget, I was coming around making a big circle. I got on my tree stand, making a big circle, and headed back, going to meet everybody for lunch. And I just sat there and I noticed here was a doe standing there. And this is in gun season. And I look, and behind it was a real nice wide 8-point. I mean, he was beautiful. And I put my gun up, and I didn't shoot him. He was 25 yards, 30 yards. And he just trotted off, and I just watched him. And after a while, I said, well, why didn't you shoot? I'm talking to myself. Now, I made that same circle for years. And after that, I made that same circle. And I'd go to that same spot. That was the way I went. And every time I'd stop there and I'd look at that tree where that 8-point was at, and I'd look, I said, why did you do that? I've never done it before. I've never done it since. But you know what I would love to have back? That time. I would love to have that back because that was a nice buck. I just want you to know it was a dandy. It was one of them that I would even consider putting on the wall. It was that close. All right, and y'all know I'm too tight to mount anything. So, all right, But you think about it. I think about the time with Dad and the time with Mom, or the time with Philip, or the time with Marcus, the time with Cheryl, the times that's been full of joy. And I would love to go back, but I can't. But then I look at the time I have, and I don't take that time now. How come I don't take the time now to have the special times with Cheryl? How come we just exist, it seemed like? How come I don't take the time to make special times with Philip, or make more of a incentive to go down and see Marcus? He's closer now. I always did say, well, he's 12, almost 13 hours away now that he's 3 hours away, and I still ain't seen him much more than I did. You know, I'm just asking this morning, are we aware of what we do with our time? See, it matters. See, somewhere some things will have to change. Let's look at some scripture just for a moment. Let's give you some thoughts this morning. For you that are Christians this morning, let's see how we're handling our time right now. Talking about the particular portion or part of this duration right now. Verse 1 says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. I wonder if we're using our time this morning to follow God like dear children. Well, I watch all these little kids run around here, and they're sometimes they're wild. The parents are visiting. After church, you know, we're all up here talking, and the kids are going and going around and around in circles, laughing and enjoying their life, you know, downstairs or something. But when it gets time to go, here they all get in line. You'll watch them. They all go out the door and they all go to their cars. And they follow this dear children following. And I wonder, do we do the same? Are we following God as dear children without any responsibility? We're just following. We're just concentrating on where we're going. We're not worried about anything else going around. We're concentrating on just following who we're supposed to be following. Are you with me this morning? I'm talking about time. I'm talking about what we're using our time for. Paul says here, as he's writing to the church, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And then it says, walk in love. I'm wondering, are we doing this thing? Are we using our time this morning to walk in love as Christ loved us? Am I walking in love as Christ loved me? How am I using my time? How are you using your time? See, I believe it's important enough that it's wrote down here. Can you agree to that? Following God. See, be careful how we walk, because we can't go back.
That's right.
We can't go back.
Yes, sir.
You're right. I can't go back and live last year over. I can't go back and live yesterday over. I can't go back and live this morning over. I probably ought to be careful how I'm walking this morning. How are you walking right now? We all got regrets. There's nobody here that don't have a regret somewhere. But can I live from this day forward with less regrets? Can I walk with the Lord now? Can I follow the Lord? I'm just talking about our time. Is everybody with me this morning? I want you to be aware of time. I'm running out of time. Things there were some things I wanted to get done this year at the house. I planned on getting done. I'd set some things out. I even laid some tools out. And I said, I'm going to get this done. And it ain't done yet. I turned around and time has done escaped. Done gone. Where did time go? Where did it go? And I'm afraid we're like it with the Lord. We say, well, I'm going to do better, and I'm going to get closer to God, and I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to be more faithful. We started out this year with an excitement of coming fully alive in 2025, and the zeal we had of them several weeks of preaching, and we all got excited and said, yes, that's what we need. And now it's escaped us.
You're right.
Where is time? Where's the wind? Now, what are we going to do now? Now we wake up. What Paul says there, we'll read it here in just a minute. He said, now it's time we awake out of sleep. He goes on and says, if you continue reading in the scripture, he says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. It's time we wake up out of sleep. Huh? He says here, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and to give himself for us an offering. Sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, it tells us, now beware. It tells us to be followers of God. Is everybody with me there? Talk to me now. It says be followers of God and walk in love, right? But now it says to avoid. Avoid our time not walking with the Lord. We better pay attention that we don't walk the wrong way. How are you using your time? Let me ask you this morning, have you used any of your time this year doing contrary to the Word of God? Have you used any of your time this year already? Have you used it walking the wrong direction? Have you used it in sin instead of for the glory of God? See, if you're not saved this morning, we don't expect you to live right. If you're not saved this morning, the Lord don't even expect you to live right. But if we're saved, guess what the Lord expects? He moves inside and He expects us to walk correctly and to use our time wisely. I'm just preaching about time this morning. But look at verse 3. We're going to read some of these over again. We okay? It said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. We shouldn't be living like that. Neither filthiness or foolish talking. Now, this ain't humor. This is talking about the off-collar jokes and the jesting and the things that are not convenient and the racist jokes and the sexist jokes and the dirty jokes and the dirty communication that we all get involved in if we're not careful with the off-color stuff. We okay? Are we okay? That's what it says. It says, which are not convenient. When we foolish talk and jest and use our time for that, that is not convenient. It's not right. It's not time for that. But what's it say? But rather giving of thanks. Now, I'm as guilty as this anybody. All of us, we will take our time before church. In fact, we'll be late even coming into the sanctuary because we're talking about guns and hunting and all the things, but we'll not give the Lord praise in the sanctuary. Huh? We'll talk about work. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about everything going on. We'll talk about families and kids and grandkids. But then when we get in the house of God, into the service, then our mouth clamps up and we don't even give thanks because we spend our time on things that's not convenient. See, we're wasting time. We're wasting time. See, time is so important. We can't get it back. I can't go back and fix it. But I can change it. But I can't go back and fix it. I can change what I'm going to do. But I can't do nothing about that. How about this? For you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We don't have time for that. Ray, look at me this morning. We don't have time to waste living for the world. When are we going to get in our heart and our mind that we're saved? That we're born again? That we don't have a secular life? And we got one life, and that life is Christ. And that life is a spiritual life. And we're a pilgrim passing through. And we need to live and get on out of here and go to be with the Lord. When are we going to live like that? When are we going to let it get our understanding around this, that my time is meant for the Lord? And you say, well, I don't know about that. Then you shouldn't have got saved.
Right. That's good.
You shouldn't have got saved. Maybe you should have just went and stayed on your road to hell and enjoyed this life because that was going to be the best one you was ever going to have. Huh? See, are we forgetting? Are we forgetting that it's Christ in us, hope of glory? And my time is precious. My time in His Word is precious. My time speaking to Him in prayer is precious. My time testifying to others is precious. My time praising Him is precious. Huh? You know, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, will you turn there with me? If I can find it here, I want to ask you a question here. This is a thought that come to my mind. And I think it's chapter 3. Is everybody with me? Hang with me now. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And look here at verse 1. It says, to everything there's a season and a what? A time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born. When is that? Anybody know? We don't know. The Bible don't say. It just says there's a time for it. A time to die. Well, when is that? When is that? Time to plant. Well, we all know there's a time to plant, but when is it? Time to pluck up at which is planted. We all know you got a harvest, but when is that? Huh? Time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Well, there's a time for it, but when is that? When is the time? When is the time to do all that? There's a time for it. There's a time for it. Well, I'm trying to get you to understand time is so important. There's a time for all these things. And we're going to take time for some of them. Are we still okay? Yeah. Now let's drop down. We see verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, have no fellowship, verse 11, with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You can't, everybody look at me. It's okay to be against wrong. Let me say that again. It's okay to be against wrong. That's not hate speech. It's okay to stand against wrong or be against wrong. But you don't have to do it hateful. But we ought to stand against wrong. Everybody understand? Let me say that again. We ought to stand against wrong because wrong is always wrong. And right's always right. You know, it says reprove. Reprove the works of darkness. Well, it says. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We still okay? Pay attention to the words, what the Bible says. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever it doth make manifest is light. Verse 14 then says, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I'm wanting to ask you this morning, how are you walking in the time you have? What are we doing with our time? I just want us to think. I've tried to pray this week, and what am I doing with my time? Man, I run out of time. There's not a day this week that I ain't run out of time. Every day this week, me and Cheryl looked. And said, is it not 10 o'clock tonight? It's late. Here we are. Time's gone. It's done dark. It's done dark. Where to go? Where did daylight go? And it seemed like we ain't moved an inch. Huh? Where's it go? I'm just wondering what I'm doing for the Lord. See, then as you walk circumspect, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He goes on and tells me, verse 18, to be not drunk with wine, where does he say, but be filled with the Spirit. Everybody look at me this morning. Have you took time to be filled with the Spirit today? Did you take time this morning to be filled with the Spirit? Did you take time last night to prepare yourself to be filled with the Spirit? Did it enter your mind? This morning when he started church, man, I need to be away, still away with God. I need to be filled with the Spirit. But we don't think about that in our time because we're not redeeming the time. We're looking at life so fast. I just want two things here. Verse 19 says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Have you done that this morning? Before you got to church, did you do it? What did you go to bed with last night? Did you go to bed speaking to yourself psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord? Or was you fighting, arguing? Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just wonder what we're using our time for. submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Let me give you four things real quick and we'll give you the message if we could. These are just thoughts this morning. Are you thinking? Talk to me. Are you thinking about time? Huh? See, there's a time allotted. How about Job chapter 7, verse 1? Job chapter 7, verse 1. Job was answering Eliphaz here. And he says here in verse 1, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? You know, you ain't got but so many. You ain't got but so many days on earth. You ain't got but so much time. That's what it says here. Job's asked a question. Said, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? You got so much time. What are you using it for? What are you using your time for this morning? Now you know your life. You know your schedule. You know where you're at. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You've already got the day planned. Huh? There's many gone this morning. Many not here. And I even said it in the message this morning when I sent it out at 7. You know, they planned not to be here. They planned. They'd already made arrangements not to be at church. They didn't make them this morning. They probably very few, maybe one or two, but the majority of those that didn't show up today already figured they wasn't coming anyway. Because they was going to do something else with their time. We're not allowed but so much. What are you using what time you've got? How much you got left? See, I don't know when I'm going to die. If I knew when I was going to die, I'm so excited about dying. If I knew where I was going to die, if I knew it was going to be today, I'd go park and wait. I have Cheryl just drop me off and say, I'll see you later. I'm going to sit right here till it gets here. That's how excited I am about it. All right? I am. But see, I don't know when that's going to be. But I've got an appointed time. See, I got a time allotted. You believe that? Yes. That's what it says. How about Acts chapter 24? Acts chapter 24. Not only do we have a time allotted, but can I tell you this morning, we got time abused. How about Acts 24? And let's look at verse 24. It says, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. See, we all got a time allotted. We don't know how much it is, but there's a certain number. We know the Bible says it's appointed a man once to die and after this to judgment. But Job said, is there not a time, a certain number of days that we have? That's why some die young, some die old. There's a time. Now that's what it says. I don't know how else to understand it. Maybe y'all can help me. I don't know how else to understand it. See, I don't know. I better make use of my time. Paul said, redeeming the time. Huh? But then I see where Felix, he had time abused. He said, at a more convenient time. More convenient. I'm going to abuse the time. See, Felix was lost without God. Had no hope. Paul come to him and preached to him concerning Christ, and he abused the time that he had. I've watched people been leaving for several months now, every Sunday, and they've been abusing their time walking away without trusting Christ. Wasting the time. Abusing that time that's offered. Huh? Brother Rick is and me both, that we've got certain people that we've visited more probably than others. He's got a dear friend he's tried to win for years and years. And he goes to him and the man abused the time. I've talked to people over and over and over and they abuse the time. And they always, well, maybe one day. Maybe one day. Abusing the time. But then I see Christians abusing their time. Abusing the time that's given. I'm just asking this morning. I'm just preaching about time. What you think about time, huh? How about 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Not only time allotted, not only time abused, there is a time accepted. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 says, We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Can I tell you, there's no greater time than now to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him as your Savior. There's no better time now than deciding to live for God. There's no better time now to get shut of the past and start brand new for the Lord. There's no greater time than now, right now. It's the accepted time. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day to live for God. Today is a day to decide. Huh? Today's a day. It's a day accepted, huh? But then there's always a sad note. How about Revelation chapter 10? Revelation chapter 10. Somewhere we're going to find out the time's going to be absent. The time's going to be absent. See, time is allotted right now, and time is abused. We see that. We all have wasted time, abused time. There's a time accepted, but there's times absent. Revelation chapter 10, let's look at verse 6. It said, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be what? Time no longer. See, somewhere there ain't going to be no time. Somewhere you're going to run out. Somewhere all time's going to run out. And then what do? When time's run out. We've all played the little board games. It's got the little, what you call that, the hourglass. We've all played the game. How many's played them game? We've all played them, haven't we? You know, when you first turn it, you don't pay no mind. But you know, you get to where you start looking. And then you get to where you start rushing. And then you go, whoa, 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 whoa. And what's everybody say? Out of time. Right? See, somewhere you're going to be out of time. Somewhere, now listen to me, somewhere you're not going to have the time to be saved. Somewhere you're not going to have the time to get right with God. Somewhere you're not going to have the time to go speak to someone about their soul. You ain't going to have the time. Time ain't going to be no more. Many, many, many times, many times, I've told Cheryl down through the years, I said, yeah, I need to go see so-and-so. And it seems like when I say that out loud, it seemed like I'll get a call and maybe that week and so-and-so's gone. You know what I've done? I've run out of time. Had good intentions, but I run out of time. See, I'm not redeeming my time. I'm asking you this morning, are you redeeming your time? This time. One more scripture, and Cheryl, you go to piano. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Very familiar scripture, verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. It says, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. You know what that tells me? That time has run out. The harvest is past. The summer's ended. And we're not saved. I ask you this morning, Are you redeeming your time this morning? Are you saved? That's the most important question this morning. Are you saved? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Now, we're not talking about receiving Christ as a wafer during communion. We're not talking about being born again as you've been baptized. We're talking about you repenting of your sins and trusting Christ as your Savior. Admitting that you're wrong and God's right. That's what we're asking. See, many religions today, they have the terminology to confuse. And the enemy has used the terminology for the same, and Catholicism has used Holy Communion, they call it Mass, to receive Christ when they put that little dissolvable wafer on your tongue. And then they've used the new birth, being baptized. The Mormons and Catholicism use that as a means of being born again, but that's not what the Scripture says. It's born again on the inside, the spiritual thing that you've received Christ. Not received a form, but you received Him, Christ, who died for your sins, who was buried, who rose again. That you received Jesus Christ today. Have you repented of your sins? Have you took the time to do that? Are you taking the time to live for God? What's in your day? What's in your time? Huh? What do you spend your time doing? How much wasted time? We got a time allotted, huh? But we got time abused. There's a time of, to be accepted. Then there's going to be time absent. I'm just asking this morning about time. About time. Bow your head just for a moment. Clark, you got us a song. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you saved? Are you truly saved? I'm not talking about what mommy or daddy said. I'm not talking about the preacher told you. I'm asking you this morning, do you know in your heart that you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, now's the time to slip out of your seat and come, and we'll show you what the Bible says. But what you need to do is, God, I'm sorry I'm a sinner, and I want you to save me today. I believe that you died for me and rose again the third day. I want you to save me today. And I'm receiving you as my Savior. The Bible says, and to many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Are you saved this morning? Think about that. That's the first thing. Second thing, are you a Christian this morning, been wasting time? Won't you get around your place here, find you a spot on this altar and say, God, I'm not going to waste time no more. I'm going to commit my life to you this morning, and I'm not going to waste no more time. I know my time's short. Your scripture done told me I've got just a little bit of time. I've got a lot of time, and I want my time to count. And Lord, I need your help. I'm going to commit this morning. I wonder if there'd be a Christian that would do that this morning. I mean, Christian would say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been abusing your time. I've lived for self and sin and the world. And you've given me a wonderful life and I've abused it. And Lord, I'm sorry. I wonder how many believers would come and say, God, I'm just sorry. Forgive me. I wonder this morning. We're going to run out one day. You think about that. Father in heaven, speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together.